We've been in a series over the last several weeks called Sola Scriptura. Sola Scriptura, which means by Scripture alone. And during this time, we've been renewing our love for the Word of God, our respect for the Word of God, our appreciation for the Word of God. The first week, Pastor Ken talked to us about the reliability, why the Bible's reliable and why it's so important. The second week, he talked about how it's the voice of God speaking to us today. And the third week, he talked about how it transforms us. This week, I want to talk about the Bible as our victory. Say that with me. The Bible is our victory. I believe that there's victory in the house this weekend, and God wants to bring his victory when we understand what the Word of God is all about. In fact, I don't know what your Facebook post is, but I'm praying that by the end of this service, it'll go from hashtag struggling to hashtag spiritual warfare to hashtag Word of God to hashtag victory. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us your word as a source of strength, a source of life, for a strategy to know how to be victorious in this life, how to rise above our circumstances, how to live the way you intended for us to live. May this service let your word rise up with faith inside of us to believe for the victory you have for each one of us. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen and amen. Repeat this after me.
By faith,
I see
the victory
ahead. Again,
by faith,
I see
the victory
ahead. As you're being seated, give somebody a handshake and a high five and say, by faith, I see the victory ahead. I want to encourage you to reach inside your bulletin because inside there is an outline for today's sermon. And the reason I give this to you, the reason I want you to fill in the blanks, the reason I want you to go through this verse by verse with me is because this will be a valuable resource to you, not only this week, but in weeks to come. Because if you're not in the middle of a battle right now, you will be at some point. Because the first blank on this outline says this, all of us face spiritual battles against spiritual powers. All of us face spiritual battles against spiritual powers. Here's one of the problems with spiritual warfare. There's two great errors. One is the people who overemphasize it. They make everything about the devil. They blame the devil for everything, every action, every response, everything that happens. And sometimes that causes other people to go to the other extreme, which is an underemphasis to act like, well, hey, you're just on your own, just deal with it. But there's a biblical balance I want to bring us this weekend to understand the importance of the Word of God. You see, when you said yes to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it wasn't an invitation to a cruise ship to just lay back and kick up your feet and ride the waves of mercy and grace into heaven. When you said yes to making Jesus the center of your life and declaring him Lord, it was an enlistment in a battleship that's doing warfare against the kingdom of darkness, extending the kingdom of God through the power of his word. And we have a responsibility to know how to handle this word in such a way so that we can see victory. In fact, your next blank on the outline says this, God has given us everything we need to walk in victory. Let's speak that to one another. God has given us everything we need to walk in victory. And that's what I'm believing this weekend, that every one of us will begin to walk in victory in a new way. That the victory that weaves its way through the Word of God will weave its way through the tapestry of your life and bring victory to you. And there are four ways I want to talk about this weekend. The first one is the Bible, if you open up on the inside of the outline, moves us from lies to truth. Say that with me. Lies to truth. Here's what the enemy comes to do. He comes to lie to you. It'll never work. You'll never be good enough. It's not going to work for you. You'll never get out of debt. They'll never change their mind. It's just not going to work. The enemy loves to lie. In fact, we have a great illustration of that in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus himself encountered the enemy in a confrontation. And here's how that story reads. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you'll bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. This story of the launching of the ministry of Jesus is an important example for us to show us the power of the Word of God. In fact, you'll see on your outline that it says, "The Word of God is our most powerful weapon." Say that with me. The Word of God is our most powerful weapon. Here's what happened. Every time the enemy came to lie to Jesus, he took out the Word of God and he declared it. He knew the Word, he spoke the Word, he declared it. And one of the interesting things is there were even a moment when the enemy himself threw out a scripture, of course, way out of context and not in its original meaning, and he threw it out and twisted it and lied to try to tempt Jesus. But here's your next blank on the outline. Jesus is our ultimate example of resisting temptation and spiritual warfare. Jesus is our ultimate example. This is how you resist temptation. We move from lies to truth with the Word of God. And the enemy's lied to you. He said to you, "You can't do this. It'll never work for you. It's never going to change." But those lies are overcome by the Word of God as we declare the truth. In fact, on the back of your outline, you'll notice I've given you a whole list of scriptures for spiritual warfare to read and pray and memorize. I want to pray that first couple verses. Lord, you tell us in your word, James wrote that if we will submit ourselves to you and resist the devil, he will flee from us. And Lord, we pray that this weekend would be a moment for victory to rise up as we resist the enemy, as we submit ourselves to you. Because you tell us also in 1 John 4:4 that greater is you, greater are you in us than he that's in the world. And I pray, Lord, that there would be faith rise up for where we have been lied to and deceived, truth would win, truth would come about and bring us to a greater place in you by your power and by your word. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give God thanks for the truth. Sola Scriptura means by Scripture alone. It's by Scripture alone that we move from lies to truth. It's also by Scripture alone that we move from struggle to strength. Say that with me. Struggle to strength. There is a very strong understanding in the Word of God that we're going to face struggles. One of my favorite books in the Bible, the book of Ephesians, is a book written to people who were growing in Christ. A lot of the letters in the New Testament were written because there were problems, and Paul or Peter was trying to deal with these problems and overcome them. But Ephesians is the one book not written because of a problem, just written to mature Christians to say, this is what it's like to follow God. And the culmination of that whole book of Ephesians about what it is to be a mature follower of Christ, here's what Paul admonishes us in his closing statements. It says, "Finally, let the Lord make you strong in his strength. Depend on his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor. Then you can remain strong against the devil's evil plans. For our struggle is not against human beings. It's against the rulers and authorities and the powers of this dark world. It's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly world." So put on all of God's armor and take the sword of the Holy Spirit. The sword is God's word. At all times, pray by the power of the Spirit. Pray all kinds of prayers. Be watchful so that you can pray. Always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Do you notice what it says there in that passage? If you want to go from struggle to strength, the word of God is key. But you know how we learn how to use the word of God? You know how you practice it? You know how you learn how to handle it so you can do warfare? Did you hear how many times it said, pray, pray all kinds of prayers, pray for all God's people, keep on praying, because here's the truth. God's word plus prayer equals strength. Say that with me. God's word plus prayer equals strength. It's important for us to learn how to handle the word of God by knowing how to pray it. You might think, you know, I've tried so many times. I don't know how to do this. You've tried in your own strength, maybe for weeks, months, maybe even years you tried in your own strength, and you're just ready to give up because, like, it doesn't work for me. But here's what happens. When we pray the word, when we take that sword and use it, God takes us from struggle to strength. And here's why. Because God's power surpasses our greatest efforts. Say that with me. Amen. That's what we've got to rely on. You can't just rely on yourself and your own strength. The word needs us to take it and pray it, to stand together in it, to believe. Because it says in the word, you'll see on the scriptures in the back, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by power, it's not by our strength, but it's by his Spirit that we move from struggle to strength. So sola scriptura, by scripture alone, we move from lies to truth, we move from struggle to strength, and third, we move from death to life. Say that with me, death to life. I don't care what area of your life seems dead. I don't care where you've given up hope, where you have no faith, where there seems like nothing can ever change. The Bible, the word of God, moves us from death to life. Let's hear the word of the Lord from Ezekiel 37. Here's what it says. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then the Lord caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many bones in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry bones. And God said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you alone know. And again the Lord said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came up on them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Then he told me to call to the wind and say, the Lord God says, come from the four winds, O Holy Spirit, and breathe upon these slain bodies that they may live again. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Whoa, what an experience. God came to Ezekiel, put him in a valley of a valley of dry bones, and said, son of man, can these live? I don't know about you, but my response would have been, really? Are you kidding? These are bones. But he says, oh God, only you know. I want you to begin to hear the word of the Lord this weekend. I don't know where you're facing death. I don't know what dreams have died, what relationships have died, what opportunities have died. I don't know if the death is in your marriage or in your job or in your dreams or in your finances or in your health. But God wants to ask you the same question this weekend. Oh, man of God, oh, woman of God, can these bones live? And your response, like mine, would probably be, well, okay, God, only you know. But let me tell you the truth of this story in Ezekiel 37. When Ezekiel spoke the word of the Lord, and when he called for the Holy Spirit, death moved to life. In fact, that's your next blank on the outline. It says this, God's word plus the Holy Spirit equals life. Say that with me. God's word plus the Holy Spirit equals life. When we take the word of God as our victory, as our weapon, no matter how much death we've experienced, when we take the word of God and the Spirit of God fills us, dead bones come to life. Amen? Let's give God thanks and praise for that. I'm going to ask the tech team to come out and help me. We just need to cover this guy up. We've seen enough of him. He can stay there for the rest of the service. Let me summarize this truth for you in a really important way. There are four scenes. Say that with me. Four scenes.
Four scenes.
The first scene is dry bones. Say that with me.
Dry bones.
Dry bones. Death. There's nothing happening. It's a horrible situation. It's hopeless. How's it ever going to work? I won't see anything take place. But scene two is the word of God. Say that with me. The word of God. We go from death to scene two, the word of God. Third is the Spirit of God. Say that with me. The Spirit of God. So we go from death to word of God to Spirit of God to scene four, which is exceeding great army. Exceeding great army. Here's the truth for you this weekend. We are just the word of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord away from exceeding greatness in our life. Let's say that together. We are just the word of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord away from exceeding greatness in our life. Again, let's put that up on the screens and say that together. We are just the word of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord away from exceeding greatness in our life. Let me speak that to you. I don't know where you're experiencing death. I don't know what you've given up on. I don't know where you're experiencing this frustration of it's just not going to work, but here's the word of the Lord. I'm going to say this for the third time. We are just the word of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord away from exceeding greatness in our life. You are just the word of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord from dry bones going to life. That's the word of the Lord for you this weekend. Receive that. That's what God's scripture comes to do. So sola scriptura, by scripture alone, we moved from lies to truth, from struggle to strength, from death to life. And the fourth one is this, we move from defeat to victory. Say that with me. Defeat to victory. This is a powerful image. The word of God is your source of experiencing victory. And I believe by faith, I see the victory ahead for each one of us this weekend. There's victory in the house this weekend. I want you to experience it. I want you to receive it because it's for you, whatever you're walking through. Let me share this passage with you from 1 Samuel 17. Here's how it reads. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the Valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was about 9 feet. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. This day, I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out, and he reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. David left his things with the keeper of supplies. He ran to the battle lines and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. David asked the men standing near him, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying, and he told them. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Then David took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, and put them in the pouch of a shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Goliath looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. Goliath said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down, and all those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Hallelujah. This passage of scripture lets us know that the portion of the Word of God helps us move from defeat to victory. But David had to engage. For days, the Israelites and King Saul had cowered, had held back. But when David stood up with the Word of God and obeyed, there was victory. That's our next blank. God's Word plus obedience equal victory. Say that with me. God's Word plus obedience equal victory. The way we walk in victory, the way we move from defeat to victory, is taking the Word of God and obeying it. And if you don't hear anything else this weekend, I want you to hear what I'm about to say. This is the most important truth when it comes to spiritual warfare and the Word of God. It's what goes in that next blank there, and here's what it is. A battle not engaged is a battle not won, and an enemy never defeated. Let me read that again. A battle not engaged is a battle not won, and an enemy never defeated. If you don't step up and fight, you will never win. That Goliath has been yelling at you for years. You'll never amount to anything. It'll never work for you. Keep waiting. It's not time. There are so many giants that have the potential to come against us. One of those giants may be addiction. Maybe it's dealing with addictive behavior, and it's like no matter how hard you try, that giant seems to yell at you and control you, and you can try for a little bit, but it comes back again. Maybe the giant in your life is conflict. Maybe it's in your marriage or your family or work or your neighborhood. You're just dealing with conflict inside yourself. And that giant keeps yelling at you and saying, you're useless. You'll never amount to anything. It'll never work. They won't change. You won't change. You're stuck. Maybe the giant you're dealing with is discouragement. You wake up in the morning and think, I don't even know if it's worth trying anymore. No matter how hard I try, it doesn't change. It's the same thing. Perhaps that giant of discouragement is the one that yells at you every morning. Or perhaps it's the giant of anxiety. The fears of what if this happens and what if that happens and what if this takes place and what if this doesn't happen and what if I can't pay this and what if they walk away and what about retirement and what about this sickness? And the anxiety giant can come and yell at you day after day and it can seem overwhelming. Perhaps it's the giant of insecurity that comes from one of those lies that started early when it says, you'll never be good enough, you'll never make it, you're not as good as the rest of them. You know, sometimes we spend the week with our families and we come away shaking our head saying, oh gosh, is this as good as it ever gets? Maybe it's insecurity that's the giant that yells at you. Or perhaps it's a fear of failure. You're so afraid of making a mistake and failing and not getting it right and not working that you just don't even try. And that giant just keeps you immobilized. Perhaps it's the giant of loneliness. The lie of you'll always be alone. It'll never work for you. No matter who they are, they're going to walk out. You can't trust anybody. I don't know what that giant yells at you, but you've got a family here at Cathedral. Let me go on to the next giant. The next giant is sin. Sometimes it's a habit that even though we know it's contrary to the Word of God, it keeps yelling at us and seducing us and calling to us. There are hundreds of giants. I could keep going and name hundreds of giants. I don't know what yours is, but here is the word of the Lord. God's power plus obedience of the word helps bring defeat of a giant. And again, let me tell you, for 40 days, there was no victory. Why? Because nobody engaged in battle. A battle not engaged is a battle not won and an enemy not defeated. Don't let that giant keep yelling at you, telling you it's hopeless, telling you it can't work, you'll never defeat it. And in the flesh, this little tiny guy and this great big giant did not look like they could have a battle that would turn out good for David. But because of obedience to God's word, he moved from defeat to victory. Amen? How many of you would say this weekend, I'm facing a really big giant in my life? Yeah. Amen. Victoria, would you mind coming up here for just a second? I'm going to let you represent everybody who raised their hand, since you raised your hand. I'm going to pray for Victoria. I don't know what giant you're facing. I don't know what giants you're facing at home or anywhere here on campus, but we're going to believe that God's going to give us the power to defeat that giant. Amen? So let's agree together. Father, in the name of your son, Jesus, we thank you that your word is a powerful weapon, a weapon that can defeat any enemy, no matter how long it's been yelling at us, no matter how big that giant is. We thank you that the word of God is strength. The word of God is power. The word of God is effective to come and defeat the lies of the evil one. And I pray for every person who raised their hand this weekend, every person who said, I'm dealing with a giant right now. You know what it is. It may be anxiety or fear of failure. It may be conflict. It may be loneliness or sin. It may be any of a multitude of things. But whatever that giant's name is, it's defeated in the name of Jesus. It is defeated by the power of God. It's defeated by the word of God. And we just speak victory in the house, victory over your people, victory to be released in the name of Jesus. Let's give him thanks and praise for the victory he brings to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Victoria, just last month, there was a group of 60 of us who were in that very valley. You can see the picture up on the screen. We were actually there in the Valley of Elah where David killed Goliath. And that's the very stream that he picked a stone up from. And I picked up a stone that I'm going to give to you today because I want you to remember that the enemy's defeated. In fact, I want to read to you what I put with this stone. It says, In 1 Samuel 17, we read the story of David and Goliath that took place in the Valley of Elah. As I stood in that very valley, I picked up a stone from the same stream and prayed for all of you today. Because I knew I was going to speak this word, and the word of the Lord came strong upon me there. And I prayed these things, that you would remember verse 32, do not lose heart. Verse 37, go, the Lord be with you. Verse 47, the battle is the Lord's. And then verse 45, come against your Goliath in the name of the Lord Almighty. Amen. So take this as a reminder of the victory God wants to bring to you. Hallelujah. And that's the truth for all of us this weekend. The Bible is our victory. That's how we move from death to life, from lies to truth, from struggle to strength, and from defeat to victory. If you look in the middle of your outline, there's a couple things I want to help you with here, because some of you are saying, but Pastor Wayne, you don't know how big this enemy is. You don't know how many years I've been living with it. You don't know how loud it is, how overpowering this Goliath is in my life. But here's some truths you need to know. The size of the enemy doesn't matter. Say that with me. The size of our enemy doesn't matter. I don't care how dead it seems, how big it seems, how long it's been. The size of the enemy doesn't matter. And the second truth is this. Our weakness or our strength is irrelevant. It's not about how weak or strong you are. You might look around and say, oh, I'm not strong like all these other people. It doesn't matter because the strength has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the word of God, his power. And here's the next truth. God's power surpasses our greatest efforts. Say that with me. God's power surpasses our greatest efforts. When we invite the word of God, when we pray, when we declare, God does something amazing. So let me just summarize these points. You want to move from lies to truth. You want to move from struggle to strength. You want to move from death to life. You want to move from defeat to victory. Here's the three things you need to focus on. Let me break it down so you'll know what to do. First of all is say. Say the word. Say that with me. Say the word. We need to respond in faith to God's word. Again, that's why I'm giving you the scriptures on the back of the outline so you can say them. The Lord is faithful, 2 Thessalonians says. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted above what you can bear, but when you're tempted, he'll also provide a way for you to endure it. Have I not commanded you, he said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be troubled or dismayed, for the Lord is with you wherever you go. You need to say the word. If you want to defeat the enemy, you've got to read the word and say it. Speak it. Declare it over your family. Declare it over dead things. Declare it over places of struggle. Declare the word of God. Say the word. The next point there in the middle of your outline is pray the word. Say that with me. Pray the word. Again, pray the word. The way we respond in the power of the Spirit is not just speaking the words, but praying them. Sometimes we need to take their scriptures and say, Lord, you tell us that we are more than conquerors through you who loved us. We are more than conquerors through you. We give thanks to you who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that it's not by power, not by might, but by your Spirit. We declare these in prayer. I want to share a story with you about a moment that happened to me several years ago when it came to spiritual warfare. I was in Guatemala with a team. We were ministering there in an orphanage that our church had built. We were down there serving for about 10 days, and we were in the city of Poptun, which is about 125 miles northeast of Guatemala City. If you've ever been there, these aren't really roads. They're more like dirt and rocks pushed together. And it's a really long and bumpy road. And we were preparing to return to Guatemala City to fly back to the United States. And the morning that we woke up, that we were supposed to leave, our missionary, Daniel, who was there, was really sick. And he's like, I don't think I can drive you. I just don't feel well. I'm just not going to be able to take you. You're going to have to ride the bus. Now, let me explain the bus in Guatemala. It's called the chicken bus, affectionately. And here's why. However many people are supposed to be on the bus, there's usually three times that many. And they're usually hanging on the sides and hanging on the back and sitting on the top. And there's usually chickens and there's usually goats and sheep and pigs and all these, everybody's together on this bus. And I thought, well, might be an interesting experience. You know, you go to Guatemala, do what the Guatemalans do. But something inside of me said, no, you need to rise up against, this is spiritual warfare. And so we went to prayer and the Lord gave me Psalm 8, verse 2. And here's what it says. It says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. I'm like, okay, God, what does this mean? And I just feel like the Lord said, bring a bunch of the orphan kids into Daniel's room, have them say the word and pray the word over him. They began to sing, God is so good. They began to sing, give thanks. We prayed those words over him, and he started to get stronger and stronger. And finally, it was about 10 minutes till the bus was supposed to come, if it was on time. And Daniel said, you know what? I think I'm feeling better. I think I'll take you. And as they continued to sing, as they continued to pray the word, as we continue to speak it over him, all of a sudden he's like, I'm healed. I feel completely great. I'm not sick anymore. And we just celebrated God's faithfulness for healing through the word of God. Amen? So we got up. We enjoyed a nice leisurely breakfast then, since we didn't have to leave so early. And about an hour later, we got on the road, and as we're driving down the road in the car with Daniel, we came up on this big crowd on the side of the road, and like, hey, what's going on? They said, you won't believe it, but the chicken bus just went down a ravine, and 32 people were killed. And it's like, we would have been on that bus. And the interesting thing, at the very same time, some of our intercessors in Virginia at our church, God had spoken to them and said, we're supposed to be praying for Pastor Wayne right now. And they all started calling each other. And that very same moment, they were praying. And one of the prayers they prayed is, Lord, no weapon formed against us will prosper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm actually here today to speak the word of victory because it works. I'm alive because it works. So we're to say the word, we're to pray the word, and the third thing is obey the word. Say that with me. Obey the word. You've got to live the word of God. And one of the best ways to do that, the most important biblical truth in obeying the word, is respond in the opposite spirit. Say that with me. Respond in the opposite spirit. Here's how it works. Whatever the strategy of the enemy is, you do the opposite. If he's coming in pride against you, you respond in humility, thinking, Pastor Wayne, that makes no sense. But think about it. When Jesus came to defeat pride in this world, the pride of Satan who fell, the pride of Adam and Eve, the pride of life, the pride in the root of our sins, how did he do it? He humbled himself and became a son of God on earth. He humbled himself and washed feet. He humbled himself to the cross. You defeat pride with humility. In fact, it's clear throughout all the Bible. That's the warfare strategy with the word of God. Here's some of those passages. We're to bless those who curse us. We're to pray for those who use us. Perfect love casts out all fear. A soft answer turns away wrath. Light overcomes darkness. Every single one of these is doing the opposite of what you expect. In fact, Paul writes in Romans 12, bless those who persecute you. Keep on blessing them and never curse them. Live in harmony with each other. Do not be arrogant, but associate with humble people. Do not pay back anyone evil for evil. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. For if he's thirsty, give him a drink. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. That's the spiritual warfare strategy. When we say the word and pray the word and obey the word by responding, and you know, it's not what comes natural for us. Somebody insults you, you're going to insult them. Somebody cuts you off, I'm going to cut them off. We tend to want to do what's done to us. But the way you do it is you respond in the opposite spirit. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:9 these words, do not repay evil with evil. Again, that's our natural tendency. Don't give insult for insult. That's what we tend to do. But with blessing, because to this you were called so that you will inherit a blessing. I deal with this all the time with husbands and wives when I'm doing counseling. Well, he said this. Well, she said that. Well, he did this. Well, she did that. Well, you're this. Well, you're that. It's insult for insult, evil for evil. But here's what the scripture says. If you choose to respond in the opposite spirit and give blessing in place of insult, you will inherit a blessing. That's how it works. You respond in the opposite spirit. In fact, the man who I call Mr. Opposite Spirit is St. Francis of Assisi. Although he lived in 1100, he had some great words and great prayers, and here's one of them. It says this, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me do the opposite. Let me sow love. Where there's injury, let me do the opposite. Let me sow pardon. Where there's doubt, let me sow faith. Where there's despair, let me sow hope. Where there's darkness, let me sow light. And where there's sadness, let me do the opposite. Let me bring joy. Oh, divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled, but to do the opposite, to console. Let me not so much seek to be understood, but to understand. To be loved is to love. For it's in giving that we receive. It's in pardoning that we're pardoned. And it's in dying that we are born to eternal life. That's responding in the opposite spirit. You take the word of God and you realize if you want to overcome darkness, you don't do it with darkness, you do it with light. You want to overcome lies, you do it with truth. The word of God has been given to us to be that weapon to bring victory. So how do you deal with thoughtlessness and selfishness? Well, our children's ministry department here at COF Kids decided to have a campaign called hashtag Be Kind. And over 6 weeks, they encouraged the kids to go out and do acts of kindness. That's the opposite spirit to our culture. You want to overcome selfishness and thoughtlessness? Learn kindness. And so what our kids did is every week they went out and did acts of kindness. When they came back, they wrote them on a little strips of paper, colored paper, and they took them and made links out of them. And as a result, they did thousands of acts of kindness. Take a look at the video and see what the Lord did through our kids here at Cathedral of Faith.
Hello, Cathedral family. The Bible teaches a lot about kindness. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, be kind to one another and build each other up. For 5 weeks, our children have been challenged to be kind. They've learned to be kind by using uplifting words, loving their families, listening to their friends, forgiving others, and giving to those in need. One act of kindness may seem to be small, but it actually can go a very, very long way.
I prayed for our friends at Mozambique. I let my sister hold my teddy bear when she was sad. I made friends with the new kid at church.
I forgave my brother for pushing me.
Romans 5:11, therefore be kind to one another and build each other up. One act of kindness may seem small, but an act of kindness is never wasted. One act of kindness can change it all. So in a world where you can be anything,
hashtag be kind. Here's my prayer this weekend, that the Lord would take us from places of restriction, places of death, places of struggle, through lies and deception, from places of defeat to a place of victory. There's a picture I want to share with you as we close out. I didn't share this in the other services, but I really feel strong about it right now. As I was watching this video of kindness, I felt like the Lord spoke something to me that I want to declare to all of us here. Many years ago when I lived in Virginia, there was this road called Old Hundred Road. It was a two-lane road, and it was incredibly frustrating because anywhere you wanted to go in that part of Virginia, you had to go through that road, and it was always crowded. Have you ever been on one of those roads? It's like, it's always crowded. It's always frustrating. Every time you even thought about going down that road, you got frustrated because like, oh, I'm going to have to deal with all that crowd. And it was just like, you're driving through there and people were slow and they took their time and it was like, oh, it's so backed up and I'm in a hurry. And then one day the newspaper came out with this great news. Old Hundred Road to go to four lanes. Yes. Yes. We're going to go from two lanes to four lanes. It's not going to be so frustrating. How many knows that's good news? But you know what the bad news was? For the next 9 months, it was one lane. Because the guys would stand and the girls would stand, stop, and the northbound people would go through while the southbound people sat there and waited for them. And then they would stop the northbound traffic and the southbound people would come through. And even though the good news was we're going from two lanes to four lanes, the reality is we went to one lane for a long time. Now, eventually, the four lanes came, and it was amazing. And I just felt like I wanted to share that because some of you said, God gave me a promise, and I thought it was going to happen, but it seems worse. But maybe he's just doing some repairs. And while you're sitting there frustrated with that stop sign in front of you, he's doing a work to bring victory in you if you'll just say the word, pray the word, obey the word, and stand in faith. Amen? So here's what I want to happen for you. I want you to have a personal moment of victory in the house for you this weekend. I want you to just sit there before the Lord, pray the word, ask him to speak to you. The worship team's going to come and sing and lead us in a song, in Jesus' name, the enemy's defeated. And when the faith of God and the hope of God and the strength of God and the victory of God comes to you and rises up, I want you to rise up at that moment and join them in singing as we allow the word of the Lord to be spoken to us. Come and lead us, Pastor Vaughn, Irene, and Cedric.
God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. And in the name of Jesus, enemies defeated. And we will shout it out, shout it out. 'Cause God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. And in the name of Jesus, enemies defeated. And we will shout it out, shout it out. Jesus.
By faith, I see the victory ahead. I just declare victory over your people, Lord Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory through the power of your word. Victory through the power of the Spirit. Victory ahead. Hallelujah. We give you thanks and praise. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus.